you guys. Time once again for the matinee show. This is matinee 73 or something like that. Holy shit, I can't believe we've been doing this for 73 weeks.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
It really doesn't. You know, time flies when you get old.
Yeah.
Everybody says so. It's true.
Yeah. You accelerate towards the grave at a fucking exponential rate.
Just like Sonic the Hedgehog, which was not one of the movies that we saw this week.
No.
We did see a Netflix series and two movies in the theater, so let's get right into it. The first one we're going to talk about is the Netflix original series, Lock and Key.
Yeah.
Now, probably most people know this, but this is an adaptation of the very wildly popular graphic novel series that ran from 2003 to 2008, written by Joe Hill, you know, who's Stephen King's kid, but he's also like a very well-known novelist in his own right and illustrated by Gabriel Rodriguez. Now, the funny thing about this show was that this is like this poor show, or this poor graphic novel series, I guess, because the graphic novel series was so popular, this thing has been, they've done like adaptions of this, like going all the way back to 2011. Now, originally they were going to adapt as a TV series for Fox. They went ahead, they cast the whole fucking thing, they spent all this money on it, they made a pilot, and then Fox looked at it and decided, nah, we don't really want to option that. They did, however, like, show the pilot at Comic-Con, I think back in 2014 or something like that, with the hopes that, like, another production company would pick it up. So then it starts going into development again in 2016, and in 2017, Hulu comes along and says, hey, yeah, make us a pilot too, like a different one, and maybe we'll pick it up. So another pilot was made, and Hulu decided they didn't want it either.
Yeah.
So finally, in 2018, Netflix said, okay, well, we want to do an adaptation, and we will order a season. However, we want to start all over again. So pretty much everybody that was cast in the original pilot, none of the people are there except for the little kid that plays Bodhi, who was the same kid. He played Georgie in It, the kid that got his arm bitten off.
Yeah.
That was him. And so he, I believe he's the only one remaining from the original cast from this poor show, which has taken such a circuitous route to actually becoming a series. So how did it turn out? Not too bad. I will say that I'm not, I haven't read the original graphic novel series, although I did read like a very complicated like synopsis of it, like where the story goes and everything, because it's very long. I mean, there's like a lot of episodes. So I do know that some people have been complaining because it does seem like this series, which is 10 episodes, it downplays the horror element a bit in favor of more, like, relationship drama, which it seems like the graphic novel series had that too. Like, you know, it has the same, like, teenage characters and the little kid character and everything like that, and a lot of it revolves around them. But it seems like the original series, or the original book series, was a lot more, I mean, the town in the books was called Lovecraft, Massachusetts, because it was supposed to be like a demonic, you know, thing. And they went more into like the history of where the demons came from, why the demons were around the well, like why they were behind the, you know, the Omega door or whatever, and all that other stuff. So this series, and, you know, I don't know if it's going to get another season or not. I assume it probably will, because I think it, you know, is doing fairly well. But maybe they'll get more into that. This one pretty much sticks to, like, the middle portion of the book series, whereas it's just, like, this family, the dad gets murdered by, he's a guidance counselor, I think, and he gets murdered by one of his students, who's, like, disturbed. And the rest of the family moves out to his, like, ancestral mansion in this town in Massachusetts, which the name of it in the series has been changed to Matheson. So I guess they're homaging that now it's more like a Richard Matheson story than a Lovecraft story, which, you know, fair enough. And so they move there, and they soon start to discover that this house is full of, like, all these keys that do, like, really cool magical shit. Like, you know, one of them, you can stick it in the back of your head and it, like, shows you that you can go inside your own head and, like, walk around in your brain and stuff, or all your thoughts or whatever. There's one that can take you anywhere in the world, like if you stick it in a door and, like, you know, you picture somewhere and you can go there. So there, you know, there's all these really cool things. And so there's kind of this other story where, you know, the demon is trying to get the kid to find keys for her, And then it ties in with the dad and the dad's murder and shit that happened, like, before and everything. So I feel like, I don't know, like, I feel like the balance was a little too far into the teenage relationship drama, because a lot goes into, you know, the two teenage kids, Tyler and Kinsey, who, you know, them going to high school and dealing with their dad's death and, you know, helping little Bodie, like, find the keys and everything like that. I think they leaned into that a little too hard. There are, like, some really cool, like, I really love the concept of this, and I really love, you know, and I think it's intriguing, like, where they could go with it. I would love to see, like, a second season where they went back and, like, talked about the, you know, the ancestors of the Locke family and, like, how the demons got there and all. Because I know how they did because I looked up the, because I read about the books. But, so I don't know if they're going to do that or not. But I definitely feel like they need to amp up the horror and fantasy thing, fantasy factor, as opposed to, like, the relationship. Yes, you need relationship drama. Yes, you need to care about the characters and stuff, which you do. But I kind of wish that they would make it a bit darker. I see what they're going for. It's like, yes, Stranger Things is very successful. A Series of Unfortunate Events is very successful. This gives me a vibe like that, and also kind of like a little bit of House with a Clock in its Walls. It gave me a little bit of that kind of vibe too, where it's just kind of like this magical realism, but not too dark. I feel like this could benefit from going darker. So I kind of hope they do that. I did really like it, and it kept me, like, interested until the end and everything, but I feel like it's a little too tame considering the source material. Even though, like I said, I can see why they're doing that, because, you know, their other shows like that are really successful. It's a little bit like Haunting of Hill House, too, although that's obviously a lot more adult-oriented and a lot darker. This is, like, a sort of, like, a kid version of that. You know what I mean? So, it's not bad. It's like, I really liked it, and I really thought the concept is really cool. The set design is cool, like the inside of Key House. I believe that whole entire thing is a set, the inside at least. And they did a phenomenal job on that. It's beautiful looking. And I loved, like, all the keys and finding the keys and, like, finding out what they did and shit like that. They need more of that and less of, like, the teen drama. That's all I'm saying. But overall, yeah. I think it's a pretty good show, you know?
Yeah, I like it. No comment.
Well, he wasn't really paying attention to it.
No, well, it violated all kinds of rules real early, and I'm just going, nah, no, I'm not going to like this one. So I just...
What didn't you like about it?
Boring, first of all. Slow. Nothing really happened to it. Nothing happened in the first 20 minutes to pique my interest. I just didn't think it was interesting.
Yeah, well...
Just, you know...
Yeah.
Like you said, a lot of teen drama.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't
mind. It's not made for me. And I mean, we're in an era where they make things for people, like, okay, this is for women and it's for this age group, or this is for men and it's for this age group. Nothing is like, yeah, this is way down here. We need to move this.
Hopefully you guys can hear us.
Yeah. So everything seems to be made for a certain intersectional demographic or something. And, you know, white 50-year-old male? No, you don't want to watch this shit.
Well,
it's just boring.
Well, like I said, I didn't find it boring, but I do feel like since the graphic novel series was a lot more horror-oriented and a lot more Lovecraftian.
Yeah, but that's not what we got.
I wish that they had gone a little bit more in that direction.
Right, that's not what we got. When we're doing a movie review, we're talking about what they gave us. And what they gave us is just, yeah. Okay,
I did like it, but I can see how but I can see how that criticism could be made.
Yeah.
Especially after I read about the graphic novel series and the story behind that. And, you know, what happened and all of that stuff. So it is much darker.
Even Stranger Things, you know, for me, it was a little more watchable because it was set in a time period in which I lived and it had kind of a fucking cool gestalt and kind of a nostalgic quality to it. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of amazed how well they reproduced fucking the mentality of the 80s and the way things looked. I mean, so that was a certain draw. But this is generic. Generic and bland.
It is a little, yeah, like I said, considering how cool the concept is, they could have done more with it. And once, like I said, I kind of hope that they do that if they get it.
Once you have, like, a generic and kind of bland corporate feel to something and not much happens out of the ordinary, you check out early, you don't care about the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? we live in another era. We don't live in the slow burn era anymore. And I think you have to be in certain moods to watch movies and series. And most people are not. Most people who are just randomly have to watch a movie or they start watching, but they may not be in that mood. I don't know. It's hard to say. I just thought it was bland and corporate.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of agree. Like I said, I liked it, but I agree with that assessment. To me, it seemed like the concept is so cool, the source material is so cool, they could have done a little bit more with it. Like, they could have adjusted the balance more.
Should have been maybe like an exciting story.
Well, no, they should have gone like a much darker direction.
Yeah, in other words, exciting.
You know, there was some cool shit in there. And then, like, especially like at the end, like in the last episode, like they actually finally got kind of busted out with the demons and everything like that. And I was like, they should have had more of that, like, throughout. You know what I mean? There was like some flashes of like really cool dark shit in there, but it's like, it wasn't quite enough. It seemed like it was more geared. It seemed more geared toward a younger audience, like a series of unfortunate events or something like that. It gave me that kind of vibe.
You have to give me something early on in that first 10 minutes to give me the incentive to hook me, to give me the incentive to continue watching it. And just the nature of the story that's being told and the characters, and it's just, I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I loved the first 3 or 4 seasons of the fucking Walking Dead. I was instantly in that. You know, I wanted to, what's going to happen next episode? I wasn't like that with this. I didn't care.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm kind of hoping if it gets a second season, it'll kind of take some of the criticisms it's been getting on board and sort of go more in the direction of the graphic novel and less in the direction of more family friendly. Kind of, I don't know if I'd call it family friendly, but it's definitely geared toward a younger audience, and I think they should kind of more go in a more Haunting of Hill House direction. I mean, you know what I mean?
That shit was boring.
Huh?
This series was fucking boring.
Yeah. No, I thought you said Haunting of Hill House.
No.
Haunting of Hill House was fucking awesome. Everybody said that.
No, this one was boring.
Yeah, so, you know, check it out if it sounds like your kind of thing. It's, like I said, it's not as good as I hear the graphic novel series was, but, you know, let's see what your take on it. For the second movie, we actually went to the theater, finally, and saw DC's Birds of Prey.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what. I thought this shit was going to suck. I really did. I thought this was going to be some kind of man-bashing, ultra-woke fest of fucking... Because the way they sold this thing is it was going to be a movie about misogyny, so every fucking guy out there went, oh, here we go,
man, all their tiny balls.
Oh, here we
up.
Go. This is going to be some anti-man shit. But then when I watched it, it was pretty entertaining, and it wasn't that woke really. It was like fake woke. You know what I mean?
Please don't use that word.
It was fake woke. It was the same kind of shit. It was the same kind of shit. The same kind of movie you get in the 90s. This wasn't anything new.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. This was actually... It's funny because I didn't have a lot of... Like, I didn't see Suicide Squad. I know a lot of people, like, kind of shit on that. Because it wasn't just because I, you know, thought it was going to suck or anything. It's just I'm not super into superhero movies. So it's not like I'll go see them and, like, sometimes I enjoy them, even the Marvel ones and stuff. But it's never anything that I'm just like, ooh, I got to go out and see that. You know what I mean? So I just never got around to seeing Suicide Squad, but I did hear later on, you know, that it's pretty much universally, like, everyone shit on it. So when this came out and I saw the previews, I'm like, I don't know, that was kind of dumb. And I was like,
dumb.
And I thought, you know, I was like, man, Suicide Squad got really shit on, like, over the years. So it's like, maybe that won't really be any good. But then it seemed like... I don't know. Like, I wasn't all that jazzed about seeing it, but then I just started kind of hearing through the grapevine that they're like, hey, this movie's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so Tom's like, well, maybe we should go see it. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. I wasn't, like, super jazzed about seeing it because, like I said, it's, you know, it's not really my type of movie. But then when we went to see it, I was like, that was actually a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah. That was a fun fucking movie.
Yeah, it's not a serious movie. The problem, okay, what they did was it kind of took kind of had the tone of the old Leonardo DiCaprio, what was it, Claire Danes? Was that her name?
The Romeo and Juliet. The Baz Luhrmann one.
Yeah, it kind of had that tone mixed with, I don't know, John Wick and maybe like...
Yeah, I think it was the same stunt coordinator.
Yeah, and like maybe mixed in with a little bit of, I don't know, like Tank Girl.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was funny. And it kind of had a tone very similar to Shazam. I love Shazam.
It reminded me a bit. It's a completely different movie than Shazam.
Yeah.
But
because Shazam had a Power Rangers element to it, too.
Yeah, true.
Because the original series had a damn Power Rangers element to it. It was a little more closer to the Romeo and Juliet, the Basil, what's his name, which I love that movie.
Yeah, I know.
But I love that movie. But it had kind of like that kind of edit. And I was kind of pissed because I was looking forward to fucking bagging on this movie, but I can't bag on it. It was pretty good. I liked it.
That's what I mean. It was actually a really lot of fun. And like I said, I wasn't, I don't look forward to like shitting on movies or anything like that. It's like sometimes I'm looking forward to one. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, we'll see how this one goes.
Yeah.
This was one where, like I said, I'd seen the trailers and I was kind of like, I don't know if that's for me. But then when we saw it, I was kind of like, I actually really liked it. I think I liked it as much as I liked Shazam. I liked Shazam quite a bit.
It's not doing well at the box office. All right, Sonic is kicking its ass. But I looked at all the data and I looked at what the problem, and this is how they fucked this movie up. First of all, the fucking title. It has a ridiculous fucking title. The real title is Birds of Prey, the Fantabulous
Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Yeah.
That is a fucking shit, piss poor fucking title. It should have just been called Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. That's that.
Well,
because
yeah.
The Birds of Prey aren't really in it until the very fucking
end.
Yeah,
and considering, I mean,
and
yeah.
And everybody's going to see Harley Quinn.
The characters, the individual Birds of Prey, like Black Canary and the Huntress and all them, are in it, like, individually, but they don't really get together until, like, the last 15 or 20 minutes of the movie.
Second problem is it had shitty trailers. The trailers that you saw don't illustrate the way that movie is.
The second trailer was better.
A little bit better.
We saw two different trailers, and it's like the first one, I was like, yeah, that looks retarded.
Fire that motherfucker.
The second one was like, well, that looks better, but it still doesn't look like that good a movie.
Whoever made those trailers needs to be fired. All right. The third one, the third thing about it is that the way they handled the fucking advertising campaign and where they went on little talk shows and shit like that. I mean, they had old Obi-Wan Kenobi. What's that fucker's name?
Ewan McGregor.
I like the guy. He's saying, this is a movie about misogyny. Every fucking male potential fan is like, oh, shit, it's going to be preachy. Yeah, that's going to be preachy. So you lost a lot of the male audience. All right. And then it's rated R. That's another fucking problem. This should have been PG. There's no reason why this is. It's not worth it. I'd take a couple fucks out of there and maybe get rid of that grenade explosion and make this PG, and you'd get a lot of more asses in the seats.
It's funny because
there's no reason for
somebody,
this to be
I can't remember if it was the New York Times or somebody, like one of the big papers that have reviewed this, they said they really liked it too, but they said pretty much the exact thing that you said. They said this doesn't really need to be rated R. It's like, yes, there's like, yes, someone like has a grenade and explodes and, you know, blows apart. Yes, there's Black Mask and he does like cut people's faces off. Although, you know, they don't really show that. They just kind of show like the lead up and the aftermath. You know, people's legs get broken and shit like that, but it's like not super, super graphic.
Yeah.
It's mostly there's like a lot of swearing, stuff like that. So yeah, I could see how if they could just, they probably could just trim like a minute.
Yeah. And what really
being PG-13.
What really killed this movie is the advertising campaign. They sold it as a woke movie for females. Females didn't go to it. All right, you looked at the data. The audience is like 60-70% male. That's who's going to see it. All right, but there should have been more males, and there should have been the kids. For the PG thing, it would have been much more successful if you had a positive advertising campaign, because the movie is not fucking preachy and fucking and it's not preachy.
Not at all.
It's very upbeat and a lot of fun. There's nothing serious about this
movie.
Yeah,
it's like Harley Quinn's character. I think the reason that
it's
people
a comedy,
like her
action adventure comedy.
I mean, you know, Margot Robbie, like, you know, she wanted to produce this movie, I think, because she really likes playing Harley Quinn, and she was upset that, like, Suicide Squad hadn't done that well, and she thought the character had been hard done by that movie. So she, you know, basically said, I want to play it again. And it's like, so she's been like trying to get this developed for a long time. And I mean, the thing about it is that, yes, Harley Quinn is a psychotic, but you know what I mean? She's an anti-hero for sure. But the way that it's approached in this movie,
she doesn't
just
kill anybody, though.
Not really. She hurts some people, but most of them deserve it, to be honest.
Well, when
with
she
you.
Fights the cops, she uses non-lethal weapons.
Yeah.
I guess she did kill some bad guys, but they were trying to kill her.
That's what I mean.
That's justifiable homicide.
Yeah.
She doesn't murder anybody.
Not in cold blood, no.
No.
Now, she does some shitty things.
But she did some shitty things to some bad guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did a shitty thing to that kid, too, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but she didn't really have much of a choice.
That's true.
But she is an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Another thing that might be wrong with the movie is that a lot of people said they didn't like the costumes that she wore. I didn't have a big problem with them.
I didn't either.
I thought they were okay. But somebody who's really into this character who makes videos and shit about DC comics said that really what sells that character is kind of a punk rock look. And he showed old drawings of her throughout her comic book, you know, history of this character. And once I saw kind of a more punk rock version of that character, I was like, yeah, that probably would have sold more tickets.
Yeah.
If she had more of a punk rock gestalt.
I did like her look in this, though, I have
to say. Yeah, it was okay, but it looks tame compared to some of the stuff that she wore in the comic books. And I think the trailers would have been more effective if it was had her in the kind of a punk rock. She almost kind of looked a little bit like Catwoman at certain times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A Harlequin version of Catwoman. And I think that would have sold probably a lot better. And, man, those trailers were terrible for this, and the advertising campaign and the title.
I've seen that happen a lot, though. Because sometimes we'll see a trailer, because we go to the movies a lot, so we see a lot of trailers, and like sometimes I'll see a trailer and go, wow, that looks like the stupidest movie ever.
You go,
but then when
you go
see it, and you're like, hey, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah. It was the advertising.
I don't trust any trailer anymore.
It was the advertising campaign, I think, that's kind of hurting this movie and the title.
I feel like, though, that maybe like the better reviews it gets, like I could totally see how some people might not like this movie. Like, for one, it's very frenetic. It's very frenetically paced. It jumps back and forth a lot. It's very, like, chaotic. You know what I mean? So, but that's kind of, like, in fitting with her character, because she'll, be, like, go on about something and then be like, oh, wait, I forgot to tell you this. We have to go back to a week ago. And then there's, like, a long segment like that. So, you know, I can see how that might annoy some people or anything, but I feel like anybody that is into Harley Quinn's character or knows about the movie portrayal of that character, I don't think they would be bothered by that. I just think this is like, it was a super fun, it was super colorful.
Yeah.
The action scenes were amazing, like the way they shot them, like
there
all the fight scenes.
There wasn't enough of them, though. There should have been a couple more. Like the one in the warehouse where she was fighting the fucking bikers. I loved those bikers with their fucking equipment, what they were wearing and shit.
Yeah.
It looked really good. The fight scene was good. Then the cocaine blew up in the air and they were snorting cocaine fight. All that shit was really good. I'm telling you, what's hurting this movie was the title, the ad campaign, including the trailers. I was expecting a real preachy, kind of man-hating, fucking third wave woke fest intersection. No, that's not really what it was. It was actually kind of like an old school 1960s Russ Meyer flicks like Faster Pussycat, Kill, 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 but updated a lot. It's not new. This is a throwback movie, really.
It is kind of,
It's a good old-fashioned throwback action-adventure comedy.
I mean, like I said, you do get the thing where, at the end, they all start to work together, but it's not so much, they all start to work together because they all have a common goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're trying to take down, you know, Black Mask, played by Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, you could nitpick it and say, well, there's no men good guys, all men are bad guys. Well, she's dealing with the criminal underworld.
Well, and most of the women are bad guys, too.
Yeah, the women are bad guys, too. But, you know, some people were really trying to read into this movie to make it woker than it was, which had given them a reason not to go. I think the movie's a sleeper. I think over time, people might like this one a little bit
better. I think so, too. I think it's going to pick up. I mean, I feel like probably Suicide Squad, I feel like people hate it even now, you know, more now than they did when it
first came out. I haven't seen it either,
so I'm not commenting. I'm just saying that's what makes me wonder
if that movie wasn't as bad as they said it was.
Maybe not, but like I said, it's we've had a few years to reflect on that, and I still hear people talking about how bad it was. Like I said, I don't know if it was bad or not. I didn't see it, but... Well, so I feel like maybe that'll happen with this one, like maybe... You know, because of the trailers, because of the title, because of other things, it was like people were like, or because of the lingering stench of Suicide Squad, and people were like, I don't really want to see that. But maybe the fact that it's getting like pretty decent reviews and people seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah, and I believe those audience reviews.
Well, I've read a lot of like read a lot of you know, like professional reviews and stuff too, and like 80-90% of them like really really liked the movie.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anything wrong with it.
So
well, a lot of times they're shills, but I would kind of agree with what I saw that they said.
Well, I don't think, you know, they're saying the same shit that we said. You know, they had some of the same criticisms about like how it was marketed, and it's like, you know, probably it shouldn't have been an R, you know, they could have got a wider audience, you know, because all they would have to do was take a couple
things out. They could save this. They wait a couple months, and around Christmas time, they do what they did with Deadpool and come out with
a PG-13 version of it.
You come out with a PG-13 version of this with a different title and a slightly different advertising campaign for Christmas, and they'd probably make more money on this again. It's actually kind of getting unjustifiably fucking shit canned, I think. That's just my opinion. I mean,
yeah, me too. And like I said, I wasn't really expecting to say that. I was expecting this to be like an okay movie, but I actually had a lot more fun with it than I thought. I thought it was a blast. I was gonna say before, like when you were talking about fight scenes, I was like, I think my favorite fight scene was when she was on the roller skates and like Hunter's on the motorcycle, and they were like jumping back and forth into the car and shit like that. One thing about, like I said, I think the same stunt person that worked on, or the same stunt coordinator that worked on John Wick, I think like worked on this movie
as
well.
It looked like it.
And you can tell because the fight scenes look very realistic. It's like in a way that there's some things that obviously, you know, like a normal person couldn't really do and stuff like that. But the way that it's shot doesn't look like all CGI'd. It doesn't look like Marvel, you know, superhero fights where everybody's flying around like little tennis balls or anything like that. It really looked like actual people doing acrobatic shit and fighting.
Yeah.
And it was staged really well. So you could like tell what was going on. It's like it wasn't like, it was kind of quickly edited, but not so quickly that you couldn't tell what was happening.
The edit was very much that old Romeo Juliet. I liked it. Very fast paced, good cuts, close-ups on people. And then like graphics would pop up about what their names, who they were. And then there was voiceover. She'd voice over stuff, which is usually terrible, but it worked in this
context.
Yeah, because
that's kind of more in line with her character.
And it has a goofy context. It jumps around a little bit, but it is fast-paced. There's flashbacks and stuff in it. It's fast-paced. It's trying to give you non-stop action. And it only slows down a couple times, and not for very long, really. It was a good movie.
It pretty much keeps on going. I mean, some of my favorite shit in this, one of my favorite jokes in this was just like a total throwaway gag about Frida Kahlo, which I thought was like that fucking cracked me up. So I was like, I saw that shit.
Yeah.
The whole shit about buying
the egg sandwich.
Yeah, I was going to say the whole shit about the breakfast sandwich, and she like stuffs it down her shirt, and she's like running down the street with her fucking breakfast sandwich. Because I was like, I feel that. I feel the perfect breakfast sandwich thing.
Yeah.
Also, only criticism I could probably make was... Oh, I was going to say, too, Ewan McGregor was fucking great in this. He decided, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to chew all the scenery. And it totally worked.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just, like, totally over the top and foppish, and he was just, like, and he was hilarious. He was just, like, fucking, he leaned right into it.
He plays kind of like this evil, kind of, like, pansexual fucking club owner who's just a fucking total psychopath.
Yeah, and he's just like so, and you know,
the black mask. You don't see him put it on until the very end. Some people criticize the movie for that, but I don't think he's a very famous DC character anyway.
That's what I mean. They just needed an antagonist for this movie.
This is not a movie to be taken seriously and overanalyzed.
That's what I mean.
It was
as fun as Shazam, like I said.
Yeah.
Only like I said, the only thing I could ding it for needed more Huntress. Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Winstead was so fucking funny in this because she was just like, she was so deadpan because she had like social anxiety and stuff, and you could tell like she And, like, the whole shit with her, like, you know, she's going around killing all these people with crossbow.
Don't call me the crossbow killer.
And it's like, everybody's calling her the crossbow because she's like, God damn it! You know what I mean? Because she's trying to get people to call her huntress. And she's, like, really, she's, like, socially anxious and doesn't know how to, like, interact with people and stuff. Yeah. And it's, like, really, really funny. So it kind of, like, needed more of her, I feel like. But that's kind of the only thing I can knock it for.
And, of course, you know, they're selling kind of a girl power angle. But it's kind of self-deprecating because they fail a lot, too. It's just funny. You know, it's... that's what I was saying. It's just kind of like a fake woke movie. It's just a comedy movie. You know, don't take the shit so seriously.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I didn't take it very seriously. Yeah. I just thought it was like a lot of fun, and now I might have to actually go back and watch Suicide Squad.
I wouldn't mind
unless everybody tells me no, don't do it.
I actually wouldn't mind owning this one on Blu-ray. Like I've said before, my words stand. I don't really like Marvel too much. I think Marvel is very kind of sterile and corporate and lax.
Yeah, they're good, but they're not memorable.
Yeah, you get done with it and you're like, what happened? You know what I mean?
I barely remember.
But all the DC stuff I've seen kind of made an impression on me a little bit more. Now, I didn't like Batman versus Superman that much. I didn't either. I thought it was kind of, you know.
I think I fell asleep.
It was long. The longer version of it made a little more sense. I have to go see it again.
I feel like DC, when they try to do something more serious, it always comes across as kind of boring. It's like, don't try to be Marvel. Marvel already has that, like, epic, we're very serious superhero. Do goofy shit.
Right.
Even if it fails, it's like...
Aquaman was awesome. It was kind of like the old Flash Gordon, which I loved.
That's what I mean. It was just cheesy.
I love Flash Gordon. The 1980 Flash Gordon is one of my favorite movies, and it looks great on Blu-ray. If you guys haven't seen it, I got to plug that movie. Watch that shit on Blu-ray on a modern fucking... That's what it was like when we saw it in the theater as kids. It's fucking really fucking epic. It looks like shit on VHS and DVD. But I love fucking Aquaman. I didn't see Wonder Woman, but everybody says it's great.
Everybody says Wonder Woman. We gotta see that.
Shazam, I loved it.
Yeah, I loved Shazam. I think we saw that like 3 or 4 times in the theater, I think.
The Harley Quinn movie, I liked it.
Yeah.
What else did we see that was from DC that I liked?
Shit, man, I can't even remember now.
I think that might be it.
Yeah.
But I gotta see Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about that. And like pretty much every review of the Harley Quinn movie.
Oh, well, Joker's DC.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Although I don't even like think of that. It's not the same style.
No.
But every review I've seen of like the Harley Quinn movie is putting it up there. They said, you know, it's not quite as good as like Wonder Woman, but they said it's up there with like Shazam and like all their other good ones. So DC, I don't know. I feel like
DC needs to come up with a new Batman and a new Superman. Something that can fucking
do we
kick
really
ass.
Need another Batman and another Superman though? Well, I feel like they've made so many.
Well, I think they need to make a Batman that fits with that $1 billion Joker in that style.
I guess.
And it's happening in the 70s.
But I don't know. It's just kind of like Gotham. It's kind of like, you know, Marvel. It's like, do we really need more Spider-Man movies? No shit against Into the Spider-Verse because that was rad. But it's like, they've made so many, they've rebooted them, and then especially like Batman and Superman, it's like, not only have they had like 50 bajillion million movies, but they've also had like TV series, and they've also like all these other offshoots, and I feel like, I just feel like they should go more into like their lesser known characters, because it's like, do we really need another fucking Batman movie? Well, it's like, I liked a lot of the Batman movies, but I just feel like we don't need another one.
For me, Tobey Maguire is always going to be fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Christopher Reeves is always going to be Superman.
Well, yeah.
It's hard. You have to get the right people to play these roles, and they got to be traditional. Or it's just not that fucking character. You know what I mean? Superman's got to be just American as shit. You know what I mean? Just like he's got to be he's got to be a stereotypical, almost iconic American superhero. And, you know, you need a certain kind of person for that. Somebody that doesn't have any baggage. That was the thing about, Reeves. Reeves showed up and he was already, you know, had such a good reputation with the public. Because he was in romance movies and shit like that, you know. So he didn't care.
He was wholesome.
He was wholesome. He has to be. And that's what Superman was. Superman was fucking wholesome.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to find an actor that can pull that off, you know. It's hard to find Hollywood today.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, both DC and Marvel have such rich catalogs of, like, all these different characters and stuff like that I just feel like it'd be cool. That's why I'm kind of glad to see, like, a Harley Quinn movie, to see, like, other ones that are, like, with other... I mean, I know she's not that much lesser known, I guess, but I would rather see that than another Batman movie or another Superman movie or another Spider-Man movie.
I don't think
movie.
This is going to do well enough at the box office to get a sequel. I mean, I hope it does, but it doesn't just doesn't
I would
look
totally
like it.
Watch a movie about the Huntress, though. Just saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think she could carry her own movie. You'd have know. To bring. You'd have if you brought. If you brought Harley Quinn back, you'd have to bring back like a punk rock Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, she was great in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and she was great in this. I thought she was great in this.
She really embodies this role.
She can do the character.
Margot Robbie is a really, like, she's a really, she can do, like, a lot of diverse roles. That's pretty cool.
I think that one guy saying that a punk rock version of it, like the comic books, I think would be better. I think that would bring in even more people. If they bring it back, I hope they take it more in that direction.
Yeah, I guess they could.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, since this one went a little more non-traditional or away from her comic book counterpart a little bit.
Or the red and black outfit.
Yeah.
With the little... That would work good, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just... But I think the movie actually was good. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I had a good time with it.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it at all. Like I said, really funny, like, you know... Just a fun time, you know, just like really colorful, like really action-packed, you know. A lot of the humor was like really...
I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's quite a recommendation, you guys.
Yeah. Didn't think I'd like it.
Yeah, I didn't either. Like I said, I was expecting it to be like, all right, but I actually I thought it was a blast.
Yeah.
You know, so see what you guys think. Yeah. Third movie we saw this week in the theater. This is the horror movie, The Lodge.
Yeah.
Now, this actually, I believe it premiered at a film festival early last year. And it was supposed to actually come out in November of this year, but it got pushed back for whatever reason. So we recently just saw it. I had somebody like message me earlier today, like before we recorded this, going, hey, how are you guys seeing that? I'm like, it's just playing at the regular old AMC theater. I don't know where you guys live. But it played at the theater here. So maybe it's not getting a wide release. I don't know.
Right.
Because usually when... I don't know. We don't usually get like a lot of more indie movies either. But I feel like AMC is trying to do a little bit better. Because now they have
an indie movie?
Yeah.
Okay,
Because now they have AMC Artisan Films and all that other kind of stuff. Now, this was directed by Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala, who are Austrian. Now...
it's a Hammer horror film.
They were one of the producers, yeah. Some of you might be familiar with those two names because they did the Austrian film Goodnight Mommy, which it almost has like a similar setup to this one in the sense of like isolation and the fact that they're being two kids and like you're not really sure what's going on. And I will say that if you liked Goodnight Mommy, you will probably like this one as well. Thematically, they're very similar, although kind of in practice, they come out very different. But the story is that there's this guy and he has two kids named Aiden and Mia. And him and his wife, who is played by Alicia Silverstone, although she's not in it very much, like only a few minutes, like at the beginning, they're kind of separated and he decides that he's going to ask her to finalize the divorce because he wants to marry his much younger girlfriend, which causes the mom of the two kids to commit suicide. Now, interestingly, the dad's girlfriend, apparently they've met, I think he was a journalist and he worked on a book about her because she was the only survivor of a cult. Like, it was kind of like, it was like a real hardcore Catholic cult, but in practice it was kind of like that.
Like the Heaven's Gate.
Like the Heaven's Gate cult where they like all decided they were going to kill themselves and like go
to heaven.
Go to heaven or whatever. Yeah. So she was like a little girl when that happened. And she was the one that was left alive, like, to document it and, like, show the world and everything like that.
To spread the teachings.
To spread the teachings and, you know, show everybody their sacrifice or whatever. So the kids, you know, 6 months later, it's almost Christmas time, and the dad says to the kids...
Is this spoiler-free? Hold on.
Yeah, it's spoiler-free.
Okay.
And he says, this is just the setup.
Okay.
you know, the dad says to the kids, you know, we're going to go up to, you know, the lodge, you know, which is kind of this remote, like, you know, place out in fucking middle of nowhere. Like, I think it's in Massachusetts or New England somewhere. And we're going to go up there for Christmas. Oh, and my new girlfriend is coming along. It's all been 6 months, like, since the kid's mom died. Now, the kids, probably understandably, kind of blame this woman, their, you know, soon-to-be stepmother, for the death of their mother. You know, and you can kind of see why they do. So they're, like, not happy about this, but it all ends up, you know, they all end up going up there. It comes to pass that the two kids and the... and the woman, whose name is Grace, are left there alone while he has to go back to the city for a few days to do some work.
Yeah.
And shit gets weird from there.
Yeah. All right. This one, Jenny loved it.
I did, yeah.
But I had a lot of differences with it. For me, it was just, it just seemed just insufferably boring, very slow. And, things do happen, but they just happen kind of late for me, and it's just I didn't like it. That's all I can really say about it. I mean, yeah. It'll spoil too much.
Yeah, I don't really want to give anything away because this is one of those stories. Very much, like I said, if you saw Goodnight Mommy, this is a similar setup, and it's like a similar. Like I said, it's, you know, because that one was like two kids, and then their mom came back from the hospital with bandages all over her face, and they became convinced that she was not their mom anymore, like she was an imposter.
Yeah.
And you weren't really sure if they were right, or if, you know what I mean? So there was that kind of whole ambiguity. So this has a similar kind of vibe to it, where you're not, like, when all this weird shit starts happening in the house, you know, there's like a snowstorm, and like the power goes out, and all this other kind of stuff, and kind of cabin fever sets in, and... so you're not really sure what exactly is going on until, like, later on. They do resolve it, you know, so they don't, like, leave it ambiguous or anything like that. They do tell you what's going on. But for a long time, you're not entirely sure. And I actually really, really liked that. This movie also gave me a real strong Hereditary vibe, even down to, like, the dollhouse type of thing, because they have, like, a, you know, a dollhouse kind of motif going on in there, too. I didn't like it as much as I liked Hereditary, but if you liked Hereditary and if you liked Goodnight Mama, you will probably like this as well. As Tom said, now, this is definitely only recommended for people who like, you know, art house horror, A24 type stuff.
Slow burn.
Because it's very, you know, it's very slow, it's very atmospheric. Most of it is concerned with... you know, these kind of long scenes of, like, trying to, like, have this, you know, this feeling of, like, claustrophobia or isolation, yeah. And where you're not really sure what reality is. So some people might find that a little, you know, a little tedious or anything like that. I really got into it, and I thought it was, like, really creepy and, like, really unsettling. But I can see how somebody might not think that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But... It's interesting to me that, like I said, I didn't like it as much as Hereditary, but this is definitely one that I want to watch again because the resolution of it makes me want to go back and see, like, what I missed. Much like Hereditary, because, like, if you didn't know, like, when you figure out, like, what happens at the end and then you go back and watch it again, there's all through the movie, there's, like, all kind of fucking clues that you don't see the first time because you don't know what's going to
happen at the end. I didn't like Hereditary.
I know, but either. I'm just saying.
But I liked Midsommar.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking about. I don't know if there's anything there worth seeing it again. Go. I mean, I thought it was kind of a simple
story.
Well,
I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I don't care if you see it again.
I don't think you're going to find anything there. That's what I'm thinking.
No, I'm just interested to see the lead up to it. Like, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm just saying I want to see, because I did notice, like, when I thought about it, because this is a movie that I was thinking about, like, many hours after I saw it, and I was thinking about little details that I had noticed, like, in the beginning, that seemed like they didn't mean anything, but then later on, I was like, oh, okay, I see what, you know what I mean? So I would really like to, like, see this again to see, like, pick out all the shit that I missed, because I like doing that. Like I said, that's what I did with Hereditary, and that movie is, like, a whole different experience, like, the second time you watch it. Because there's all kind of shit in there that you don't notice the first time. Because you don't know, like, what the outcome is going to be. But once you know what the outcome is and you go back and watch it, you're like, holy crap, I missed so much stuff. Mm. But I feel like this one might be another one like that. Like I said, it's, you can tell they're trying to go for like a Shining type of vibe, because it's like this lodge and there's like in the middle of nowhere and like someone is maybe going crazy, maybe not, you don't really know, and you don't know like where the line between reality and insanity is. You don't know if everybody's dreaming, you don't know if everybody's, you know what I mean? So I really like that. Like I said, now if you're into art house horror, if you're into that kind of slow burn type of shit, you should probably check it out. If you liked Hereditary, you'll probably love it. If you liked Goodnight Mommy, you'll probably love it. If you're more into like kind of traditional horror or more like slasher type of horror, you'll probably hate it, so probably stay away. This seems like it's going to be another one that's really divisive, but a lot of these art house horror films are. Oh, if you like The Witch, you would probably like this as well. Kind of a similar, it's kind of a similar vibe to that. But you know what I mean? I really liked it a lot. Tom hated it. It's, you know.
I didn't hate it. I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was insufferable.
Yeah.
All right. I think the story is not very complicated. It's a simple story, and I think the story is actually pretty good, but it would have made her much better, like 30-minute short story. I thought that it was unnecessarily stretched out. They tried to make it very long. To try to give it gravitas and try to set some kind of a tone, but I didn't think it was effective.
Okay.
I think it should have just been shorter.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could have also been a fast-paced horror movie, tell that same story, and wouldn't have been such a tedious experience. That's for the audience.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just thought it was boring. Long shots. Long pan, long close-ups, big pan backs, conversations that don't really have to be there. You know what I mean? Just stuff like that. European. It's European.
Yeah. This gave it gave me a Hagazusa vibe.
Yeah. Now you told me that these are foreigners making this shit. Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah, Austrian.
Austrians. Right.
Like I said. Now, I had seen their first movie, like Good Night Mommy, which I really liked.
I couldn't
really
put my finger on it until you said so. Well, of course, it's a European movie. Those fuckers take forever.
Not like here, where everything's over in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's over in 2 seconds. We get that shit over with, man. Come on.
Get it over
with. Get that shit over with. Now, I'm just saying, you know, it's more of an artwork than it is a piece of entertainment.
Well, it's an experience rather than, you know what I mean? Like I said, it's just like, I mean, anybody that's really into kind of like more atmospheric horror, you have to kind of go into it with, you have to just like let yourself get into it.
Yeah.
And don't try to fight it. Don't try to be like, oh, I wish it was this, that, and the other thing. You just have to kind of like immerse yourself in it. Like in a bath.
That first fucking half hour.
That's what I mean. You
can't do
that.
The first half of it, which is about an hour, I'm like, hurry the fuck up. Okay, I get the idea. Hurry the fuck up. What's happening? You know, it's just, that's the way I felt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like I said, it's, you know, it's just a different way of approaching things. The reason I enjoy these is because I just kind of let myself like immerse myself in the atmosphere and in the characters and everything like that, because I want it to like take me somewhere.
Yeah, that was another thing, is I didn't like any of the characters. Really?
Well, the characters...
There's nothing about these characters that were
interesting, because...
They're just so bland.
Ooh, if I say something about it, it's going to spoil I better not. But the main girl, Grace, Riley Keough, I thought she was fucking great in this.
It's all good acting, but I'm talking about the writing and who the characters are and the situation. I just thought it was all just very bland. Very bland and generic.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been any girl, any boy... Any guy, any chick. You know what I mean? They were just very generic.
So like I said, you know, if you're into kind of more art house horror, you probably dig it. I know it's one that after it made the rounds of the festivals, like a lot of people were looking forward to it. So like I said, if you're like Tom and you have to have everything like right now and you want everything like blowing up and
she's
everything.
Stuck with me now.
And you want everything to be over in 2 seconds.
It's nothing, no.
Then you will probably hate this movie.
Not the idea.
But otherwise.
I just like it.
That's what you said.
I like an American pacing to things. I just do.
Everyone has ADD.
Okay, whatever.
Y'all have ADD. But yeah, so check it out if you're really into atmospheric style horror. If it's playing in a theater near you or whatever. It'll probably be on Shudder soon anyway.